Lord, laid on my heart to just give us something that might help us through this whole week that's in front of us. Blessings of being thankful. Thank for a text. I'm going to read verse 1. We're going to go down through most of the psalm. But that's where we'll start tonight. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We praise You and thank You that we're not even looking for what we deserve, but instead we're going to be recipients of Your grace, Your goodness, Your great love. Cause each one of us here tonight, Lord, to stop and think how much You've loved us, how much You do love us, and how much You want to love us. Cause us, Lord, to be in a place of blessing where You can shower Your goodness upon us. And then, Lord, once You do, let us never be ungrateful, but praise You and thank You throughout eternity, the ages to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, as we look around the world today, there's a lot of unhappy, dissatisfied, offended people, or people in trouble. That should not be the saved person's situation. The happiest people on earth, rich or poor, should be saved, baptized, fruitful children of God. He's good to us. And He delights in being good to us. His plan is to be good to us. Now, everything's not rosy. A song that has always made me nervous is a song that was popular back in the 70s. If it keeps getting better and better. You know? I don't know what I'm going to do. There's been times when I didn't know what I was going to do, but it was not because things kept getting better and better and better. But God has been good to me. God has been good to you. Well, I don't see where He's blessed me. Open your eyes. Just look around you, my precious friend. God loves you. Well, you don't even know me, preacher. No, but I know Him. And He loves you. Bless my soul. I'm sorry. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Why? Here's why. And forget not His benefits. That's a blessing of God. Too many people are ignorant of His benefits and His blessings. They want to attribute them to something else. They want to say Mother Earth has done that for. The earth is not anyone's mother. Now, do I think we should trash our environment? No. But I think we ought to enjoy it. Amen. But not worship it. Amen. I love where I live. I love the life God has given us. I have traveled 49 states in the United States. I've not been to Alaska. It is a bucket list situation. I've been in, I think, all the provinces of Canada and a lot of states in Mexico and a few other foreign countries, but I'm not a world traveler. But you know what excites me? It is not New York City. I mentioned this, I think, last week. It's God's beautiful creation. I love God's blessings to us. And if you're here tonight and God has given you eyes to see and breath to breathe, and you can just look up and look around, you've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. The ungodly want to deny His blessings because they're ignorant of them, some of them. I'm not saying they're foolish or dumb. I'm saying they just don't know what God's done for them. Backslidden folks have forgotten His benefits. Did you know you can get so far backslidden that you can forget that you were saved? That's what it says in Peter. Hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now that's a backslidden person. Well, preacher, how do you know you're that backslidden? When you begin to doubt your salvation. That's how you do it. But my friend, God loves you even in your ungodly state. God loves you in your backslidden state. But He rejoices when you want to cuddle up close to Him and show your love to Him. Amen. Happy and blessed is the child who treasures His benefits. We ought to just stop and thank God once in a while. I'm biting my tongue. I want to get on great-grandkids tonight. And we don't have time for the subject, but boy, I'm thankful for them. When an old man, God lets him live to the point that his children's children's children know him and call him by name. That's good. Okay, you've heard me go on about Melvin. My oldest great-grandson has coined a new name for me. I've been Pawpaw ever since my grandkids started showing up. But he's got another Pawpaw or two. So I became Pawpaw Melvin. And it's the cutest thing you ever heard. And I love it. And I love the sound of it. Someone asked me last week, well, what are you going to do when He gives you that stone written on it's Melvin? I said, it'll never sound as sweet as it does then. Unless it's out of Easton's mouth, then it's getting pretty close. We are blessed folks. You say, well, I don't have any grandkids or great-grandkids. God loves you in a different way then. But He loves you. There's no doubt in my mind He loves you. First of all, He loves you because He's forgiven all your iniquities. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Sin sickness is the worst disease we can have, my friend. And He wants to heal us from it. He has forgiven you. If you will accept His forgiveness, He's forgiven you of all your iniquities. This psalm was written by David to the forgiven children of God. And I hope you're in that crowd. I'm enjoying being in that crowd. The little nursery rhyme, now I lay me down to sleep. I like to say it this way, now I lay me down to sleep. I know the Lord my soul will keep. If I should die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. That's a blessing. Amen. And when the world's crashing around you, when your heart is breaking, when you may be laying there in the dark saying, oh God, don't let the sun come up, you can still know that you're His and He's yours and it's going to be okay.
Amen.
if your iniquities are forgiven. If you're still in your sin, it's a completely different situation. Well, how do you know, preacher? Well, my granddaughter told me a couple, 3 weeks ago that she had always been in turmoil concerning the situation. Talking about Stephanie. And folks, it's true. If your heart is in turmoil all the time concerning your relationship with God, you probably need to get born again. I love when God deals with people. I was pastoring in Stratford, and two friends, teenage girls, one of them came to the other and says, "I'm really worried. How come?" "Well, every time Brother Williams gives the invitation, my heart just is in turmoil, and I'm so burdened, and I'm so upset, and I really don't know if I'm saved or not." And her friend says, "Neither do I. Let's go talk to the preacher." Amen. Came, got saved. You know, it's that straightforward and simple. If you will, with an honest heart, open your heart to Him, repent of your sin, He can and will save you. He truly wants to forgive us all our iniquities. You say, "Well, what do I have to do?" Trust Him. You see, it's His goodness that saves us. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He saves you. He wants to save you. He'll do the saving if you'll do the letting. That's what we do. We surrender our will to Him, lay aside our pride, admit our wicked sinfulness, and He forgives us all our iniquities. What a good God. Amen. What a precious God. But you must do that to be at peace with God. The Bible clearly says ye must be born again. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." What was finished? Payment for your salvation. The penalty for your wickedness was paid in full on Calvary's cross, and He rose again to prove that He's the one that could pay for it. He redeemed your soul. And it's your fault if you will not accept His redemptive act. He paid for your sins. He paid for your past sins. No, you're not too wicked a sin. You haven't done so many wicked things that you can't be forgiven. God can forgive you. I used to go to preachers' meetings. I've been to several Texas ones, and they like to brag on how great a sinners they were. "Well, Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, but I believe he got it wrong. I am." No, the Word of God didn't get it wrong. Paul was the chiefest of sinners. I tell people, I was a mediocre sinner. I wasn't good at anything except being bad, and I wasn't all that great at that. Nothing in me to brag about. But oh, there's a lot to brag about in Him. There's a lot to brag about in our Redeemer. He paid for our past sins. He paid for what you're doing today, sinning. Present sins. He even paid for your future sins. Now that breaks my heart that He had to go to the cross and suffer such agony because of my wickedness. And I'm sorry for the sins I committed in the past and even present. But oh, it really shames me that knowing him and how much he loves me, that I sin more against him tomorrow. That ought to shame us, everyone. But we do. And he loves us anyhow. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by God, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. You know what that means? That means God, Jesus is praying to the Father for you. Yeah. That's what intercession is. Yeah. When the devil makes accusations against you, at the right hand of the Father, there's the Son that says, Heavenly Father, it's under my blood. It was wrong. It is wrong. It's shameful. But I suffered for it. And he prays for it. Years ago, I heard a perfect example of intercessory prayer. Do you pray for other people? Do you seriously intercede for other folks? My sister was facing, I want to say, her second open heart surgery. I know it was open heart surgery, and that's serious. Anytime they split you down here and open you up, that's serious stuff. And one of the new Christians in our church, he was my age, but he was just saved. He said, preacher? Yeah. He says, I told God, if I had any favors coming, to just forget them and take care of your sister instead. Now, from a baby Christian, that's just as sweet a heart as you could ask for. Amen. God, forget about me a minute because she needs your hand. But you know what? I'm thankful that he doesn't have to forget about you. He's a big enough God. He can bless her and you at the same time.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But I sure appreciate folks that are willing to give up their blessings for other people. That's love. That's love for them. It's love for him. And it's complete trust in him. What a great God we serve. How much are we willing to give up for the benefit of others? He forgives our sin. He casts them as far as the east is from the west. Paradox, boys. If you had a square house, four walls square, and there was a window in each wall, and they all faced south, and a bear walked by, what color would it be? Malcolm?
White.
Absolutely. White, because that would have to be on the North Pole, and it would be a polar bear. So we can go north and get so far, and then we're going to be going south. Or we can go south and get so far, and we'll be going north. But we can go east and east and east and east and east and east and never be going west until we do about face. That's how far God cast your sin from him. As far as the east is from the west, he doesn't want to remember your sins. He will not. That old song, tell me what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Mark it down. That's a good one. I'm glad God does not remember my sin anymore. I'm ashamed of them. He's forgot them. That's good enough for me. Not only does he want to save your soul, and he does want to save your soul, he wants to save your life. Verse 4. Who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God wants to save us physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually. He wants to take your messed up emotions and life and straighten them out. Now, I've dealt with people before who think, well, I'm going to call on Jesus and all the mess I've made in 40 years, God's going to fix them in 10 minutes. That's not how it usually works. Now, he can take all the sin you've committed in 40 years and pay for it just like that because he already handled that. But some of the mistakes we made, it's going to take a while to straighten up. It may take a while for your wife to get confidence in you again. It may take a while for your children to forgive the silly things you did while raising them. It may take a while for you to pay off the debt you foolishly created. But he'll help you. One of the more fun things as a pastor to watch is watching folks come into church, and I'll give you an example of one particular fella. First time he came to church, he had cutoffs and a t-shirt on, and the t-shirt had holes in the belly, and he was about 6'5 and weighed 400 plus pounds. Beautiful picture. But that's what he had. I had visited him the week before, and he says, well, you know, I'm saved. But sometimes God puts people on the shelf, and sometimes they put themselves up there, and I put myself up there, and it's time for me to get off. And he said, I'll be there Sunday, and we walked away, and I could go into more graphic detail, but I don't want to besmirch his name. All I want to say is, I thought, yeah, right. If you've done much visiting, come on, you know. Well, he was there that Sunday, and he went to the altar, and he was there Sunday night and Wednesday night, and for the rest of his life, he was faithful to God. And it was fun to watch him. His breeches grew legs. His shirts grew collars. He got him a suit. He was living in a ratty old place. And he got him a new home and a better car. Well, how did he do that, preacher? God started blessing him. God was just blessing him. Instead of spending all his money trying to forget his past, he was able to invest it in his future. You know why? Because God had forgiven his sins. God loved him, and he saved his soul, then he saved his life. Briefly, his son had said, I don't need to go to church. My daddy don't go to church, and he's a preacher. But now his grandson is on the missions field. Because when he got back in church, his son got in church, his daughter got in church, his grandsons got saved and surrendered their hearts to God. That's just one example of a whole bunch of them. I love it when I hear people say, and I'm sure our pastor could say the same thing. You hear people say, well, I just wish our family could be like so-and-so's. And you immediately think of the night you sat up with him while he was drying out, or trying to get her to come back home, or trying to get their kids to go to sleep because they were scared what mama or daddy was going to do. And then God moves in and straightens their life out and gives them peace and contentment in their home and a life worth living. Thank you, Lord. God wants to save your life as well as your soul. Physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually. With loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 4, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. I'm thankful for it in my life, but I'm thankful for it in your life also. Some folks understand God's mercy better than other folks. Mary Magdalene, who had lived a wicked life, understood the forgiveness of God better than the Pharisee. She did. And even with our frailties and weaknesses, God loves us anyway. He knows who you are and what you are. Verse 14. He knoweth our frame. Verse 14. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Dirt bag. I don't think we ought to use that as an excuse. But I think it should be a path to forgiveness. When we mess up, don't want to. But when we do, God loves us anyway. And He wants us anyway. And we knew we were going to do it before we did it. And He loved us before we did it. He cares about you and He cares about me. Now this life is short, my friend. I used to hear old folks say that and I thought, yeah, right. They were. Well, picture. Grade school took forever. Especially third grade, it took 3 years. No, grade school was a long time. High school was a whole lot shorter. And college was fast. But then these next many, many years, nearly 60 years, went pew, just like that. This life is short. But eternity is long. And God wants you with Him for eternity. And He wants you to prepare for eternity right now. And He wants that so that you can be happy. A friend of mine was dying with leukemia. He'd had it most of his life. He was in his 30s now. God had blessed him. And he was getting ready. I said, you know, you're going to meet Jesus here before long. Yeah, I know. And here's his words. He said, yeah, I know. But when I get there, there's going to be a hiney kicking. He was ashamed of the life he lived. I don't want that attitude when I go stand before God. Do you? I don't want that attitude. How can I prevent it, preacher? By not doing the things that you need to be kicked for. Especially if you're a child of God. As for man, his days are as grass. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Notice verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Hallelujah. Now, one thing that really, really concerns me is this. There are people who grew up in this church who were saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are raising children that are on their way to hell. blows me away. But it's true. But if you'll give your heart to God, not only will you go to heaven, if you'll give your life to God, your children will go to heaven. And if you'll be faithful and true, your children's children can be on their way to heaven. Because that's God's promise. What a beautiful thought. Again, I'm not going to brag, but I'm sure glad my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, not great-grandkids, kids and grandkids are all saved. Amen. Married saved folks. Right. One of our Christmas traditions has become, before we open our presents, we go around and I ask them how God has worked in their life this past year. And every single one of my children, my son and daughter-in-law, my grandchildren, their spouses, every one of them can give meaningful, spiritual answers to that question. Amen. And this old man sits there and says, "Thank you, God. You came as a babe to die on the cross to save souls and to redeem lives, and it's still working today." Amen. And my family is a recipient. Oh, thank you, God.
Amen.
But we're not unique. He wants the same for you. He loves you as much as He loves me. He loves your children as much as He loves my children. And it's our stubborn will that drives a wedge between Him and us. From everlasting till everlasting, upon them that fear Him. And I believe we can inherit God's blessings. Two preachers preaching at a preacher's meeting. Same place. One of them was a preacher's son who was the son of a preacher. He was well prepared in the Bible. He was very eloquent. He later became pastor of the church we were in. The other one got saved in that town. And this is a true story. Got saved in that town. He got arrested for driving a stolen car through the town. Got thrown in jail and got saved in jail in that town. And they were both preaching. And the one who was the son of a preacher and a preacher's son and all of that, he said, "But I want you to understand something. He was no less a sinner than me. And I was just as sure of hell as he was. And although I would never do anything to bring shame or harm to the family name nor to the sovereign state of Kentucky, I was just as lost as he was." Now, folks, we need Jesus. But we can pass our heritage down as children of God rather than as heathen. I'm thankful for my heritage, but I'm glad God intervened and changed the direction that we were going. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad my children have never seen some of the stuff I've seen. They've never done some of the things I did because of God's goodness and God's grace. I'm so thankful for that. And He gives His righteousness. not our self-righteousness. That's why I hate to say a whole lot. It sounds like it's my goodness or my righteousness. No, it's His. Our self-righteousness only brings us foolish pride and shame. But His righteousness forgives us of our sins, cleanses us, and makes us pure and clean in His eyes. Easy to get pure and clean in my eyes. Just don't look in the mirror. But all when I get pure and clean in the eyes of God because I'm washed in His blood, that's when it gets sweet. That's when it gets precious. That's when it's holy. And my friend, that's where you and I are to our children's children. You want your babies to go to hell or heaven? You set the example. You want your grandbabies to go to hell or heaven? Set the example. I look out here and I know several of you families, and I know 2 and 3 and 4 generations. And it's a good thing. I see the children of godly parents who have children of godly parents who are godly children. Praise God. But you younger folks, isn't that what you want for your children? Then be the example. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that You'll just stir our hearts with a greater desire to please You. That's the best thing we can do as Christians, is just bring honor and glory and praise to our Creator, our Savior. Oh God, thank You for all You've done for us. Then Lord, those who are here tonight that aren't saved yet, would You again stir their hearts one more time? Cause them to see it's Your love and Your benefits and Your mercy that they're here tonight to hear the gospel message one more time. God, would You use us, prepare us, make us willing to be yielded to You this week. In Christ's holy name we do pray for His honor and glory. Amen. We sing a verse of invitation song, Brother John. Go ahead. God's dealing with your heart. Come on. It's time to do something for God.